The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now and on video, live Technicolor in his smart shirt, Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, fella?
How you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's nice to see a bit of sun here. It literally seems to be raining non-stop. I just wanted to, it just makes me want to move abroad somewhere, you know? Yeah. But we have seen this sun, so it's nice. I mean, everything's flooded, but it's, you know, this seasonality-wise, generally, they say, you know, good months come up to the run of the ISA season, you know, when people start topping up ISAs, using the ISA allowance, and then into the new financial year. And of course, we've got the backdrop of hopefully central banks easing. I think the UK is going to have to go before America. But I mean, I know they're sort of reluctant to, because it makes, you know, inflation go up. Because, of course, you know, if the pound becomes cheaper and the dollars are more expensive, then we're importing a lot of commodity prices, all that stuff, which are denominated in dollars. But maybe they'll go before, because, you know, it's looking, our inflation, I mean, in America, it's looking a bit sticky, and the consumer out there is still, you know, very buoyant. They're buying. Yeah. Things are slowing down.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's a very weird situation, because 3.2%, you know, normally you'd be like, who the hell cares? It could clearly move them back up to 9% very easily, because we've seen it. You know, we've seen what the last 2-3 years were like. So it makes sense, you know, but it's painful, because it's harder, obviously, to get from 3.2 to 2. We need to get to 2, and it's stubborn. It's just hovering above 3.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into your space, into your sector, Vadim. A couple of companies, there's some news out, and I'm always interested to see when, in fact, one of the big risers today, actually, is, let me just get on the chart here, is, I mean, it's coming from a low base, but ABDX, interim results. Now, of course, they were into sort of COVID testing and that. That's the chart here. You can see the chart is flat, but come down a long way. What are these be called? It's called
Abingdon Health.
They used to be called something else, didn't they? Can't they? They were called beforehand. They changed the name from, I don't know, it's one of the COVID hopefuls.
It was definitely a COVID stock. That's the big early stage of that chart. It was when, you know, COVID diagnostic testing, and it was just. Yeah. So all that's been wound down now, and they're a contract manufacturer now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
the biggest rise, as you can see, they went down towards results. And rose up. I haven't really got into that downtrend. It broke previously. It's still down there, but a big riser. Yeah. The interim results, it does seem like they're improving. Let me just pump this up on the screen so you can see it. Yeah. So interim results, continued growth of contract service activities. So explain now. So as I say, they did for the 6 months, this is to, December. Yeah. So they did 2.4 million in H1, which is compared to 1.1 last year. So that's looking good, 170% growth. And most of this was on the lateral flow CDMO. 2.2 million of that 2.4 came from that. That's now the core business, is it?
Yeah, that's right. So it's contract, I think, design and manufacturing organization. So you have CROs, contract research organizations, and you have CDMOs, which are contract manufacturing organizations, basically. Okay, and they're both. They do both. But as you can see, most of the revenues is on their manufacturing side. So you're basically, you know, making products for someone else, for them to, you're like, it's like white label products, or for, you know, bespoke to their needs, et cetera, et cetera. So they're making diagnostic products for other parties.
Yeah. And they say here, just looking down, it does say, primary objective of the board remains to move the company to a break-even cash flow positive position, which forecasts will be achieved in 2024 without the need for additional funding. So that's a really positive sign.
I think that's the biggest part of that announcement, actually. That's the most positive element. Now, you know, they still have to get there. So, you know, we have to, you know, keep that in mind, is that we've also seen companies miss after saying that, right? But it feels like, if you look at the finances, it feels like they can get there. You know, they have cash. They have cash, as you've highlighted right there. And the capital requirements aren't crazy on the current revenues, and on the current, and on the, and the revenue trajectory is good. With it's growing fast. You know, they've doubled revenues over the last year, over the first half, like for like, compared to the previous first half. So, you know, if they continue somewhat down this path, they should be okay.
Yes, they're saying literally they are about 8 million market cap companies. So if they if they're doing 2.4, so five, maybe 6 million, so they're just under one time sales, I suppose. And they've got plus cash. 2 million cash.
Plus cash. So if you look at their EV, they're one times EV to sales.
Yeah, exactly. So that's looking quite decent there. They've turned it around. But
They've actually turned it around. Exactly. And the other thing is that one times EV to sales, but what if revenues keep growing at pace? Now, it's easy to do 100%, well, it's not easy. 100% revenue growth on a low base is different. You know, it's not very sustainable, that kind of triple digit growth rate, but it doesn't mean they can't do, you know, 20, 30, 40% growth. It's that's entirely probable from this base, right?
Next exactly.
And that becomes a profitable, interesting business. So it's good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's small, it's growth. They can keep growing. It'd be nice. Like if your company does 20% a year, but in 4 years, of course, doubles revenue. So that's a good sign. All right. So maybe one to put on the watch list. It's risen a lot today, but like I say, it's still below that sort of almost that previous support, or it's coming up to that previous support pretty much. If you look at that, if you bring that down where it broke up there, nine pence.
You know what's going to happen. So you're looking at that chart, right? So you see it spike up. This is a name, small cap company where a lot of people are stuck in it, blah, blah, blah. So a spike like today, you're probably going to see people sell into it and it'll create another opportunity. But the story is improved. That's the key. So, you know, don't buy on the spike, buy on the people selling into the spike once they sell down, right? That always happens, right? And in this market environment, you'll probably see people selling into the spike. You know, hopefully not too much, because we'd like to see the story actually start turning around, because, you know, the shares should reflect the actual story, which has turned around or is turning around. But inevitably, you see people trying to get out on the liquidity that the spike creates. And that allows a new entry point a bit lower than what you see where you see the stock today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but, you know, when a company releases news as positive, that's one of the worst times to get in, because like I say, it does shoot up and inevitably, like you say, you do get the stale bulls in there that will get out. The big question I would say here is, you know, how big is that market? How much can they scale into it? How, you know, I have no idea about that. I have to look into that and research, you know, what's the potential there going forward? Is it a big market for them? I don't know. So
I mean, being a CDMO in diagnostics in the broader market is huge, but, you know, they're still very small, so they have to establish a name for themselves and start getting bigger and bigger contracts, right? It's a long, hard slog, right? Mm-hmm. And getting what did they say two million plus in revenues is a good achievement on, you know, for the first half. So call it run rate of 5 million, but you can imagine that's not a given run rate. You know, we often see CDMOs have lumpy business, right? And that's the danger. Yeah. That's the danger, right?
Yeah. So there's no recurring element to that, is there?
Well, often, you know, they'll get 2-3 year contracts or things like that. You know, so, you know, it'd be good to know a bit more about the order book and how that's distributed over time, what confidence they have in the next year. All these things are important to know. But yeah, you know, the contracts can end, like they can, like new ones can, just as new ones can start, old ones can end and not be replaced. So you have to, you know, you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's have a look at some other companies. Maybe there's some potential here that's done fundraise. Now, like I said, sometimes, and I always say, be careful with loss-making companies. You know, it's very careful that you, and I always ask yourself two questions. How much cash do they have? How long is it going to last? And this next company, it shot up on news it released, which is transformative, I thought. And I was researching this company literally about 2 weeks before they released this news, and they went gangbusters. Yeah. But the thing that put me off was, you know, they're loss-making, very little revenues, and the cash burn was quite high at the time. And I thought, ooh, that's what put me off. And I didn't sort of, you know, look into it any further. And then they released this news about the PC... OBD is Oxford Biodynamics, OBD, And then there is the news about the PSAE test, which boosts the confidence, I think, something from 50% up to 90-odd%, which is a game changer, you know, prostate cancer and all that. If you can do that, you're talking about, you know, it's half right, these tests, so almost spot on being, you know, super accurate. And so you can see that rise there. We released this news back in September, and it went from literally 9 pence up to 47 pence. Yep. But I say the cash burn was a bit high, but now they've just raised some money. Is it 9.5, I think?
The cash burn was high, you mean, right?
The cash burn was high, previously. But how much did they raise the OBD?
So I think 10 million today?
Or 10 million.
Or was that? Was that what it was?
Yeah, results of fundraising here. Yeah, let's have a look here. So 9.9, at 9 pence it was. There we are. And and so, like I said, I went back to the, preliminary results, and you scroll down there and you think, okay, so operating loss of 10 million for the year last time. I thought, so, at least this gives them what you'd say a year's runway, pretty much,
Yeah.
Do you like it? Have you been into this?
So the reason for that spike was interesting. They have a good test. It's, they say a contend, will contend against the PSA test, which is the standard of care right now. PSA tests are delivered by the NHS, by everybody, right? It's a marker of prostate cancer. It's not only just a diagnostic test. It's also a test for measuring how prostate cancer is developing, right? Because PSA keeps going up, people are getting worse. And if PSA comes down after treatment, that's a good sign, right? So PSA is widely, widely used right now. It's kind of like a generic test, if you like. Everyone has them, okay? So it would be a huge market to penetrate into and to have a very, because the problem with PSA is it's not very accurate, right? And yet it's widely used. So if we can have a test that's far more accurate, then yes, it sounds all very promising. The problem with these things are, and I think they got approval and even there's a reimbursement. I vaguely remember them getting reimbursement, so I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, it's all good news flow around that when their stock rallied to 40p. But the difficulty is, I think the expectations were quite high or set high for rollout. And in medical practice, as we've known so many times and we've seen with so many companies, Polarian being one of them, it just is so long and difficult to roll out, to get, KOLs and on board, to make people understand that there's a better test out there, and to change medical practice. So the issue with this one is exactly what we've just seen. They have great news. They can now sell their product. The problem is selling it burns a lot of cash, and getting out there burns a lot of cash, and ultimately they're running out of cash, right? So they need to do a placing. The cash runway isn't long enough to get this product out there. So they're gonna, they just did another placing back to square one. We're back to where they were. You look at your chart right there. Exactly where that whole rally started, right?
Well, in fact, below that is, if people were buying up here, literally, and 37 pence, because of course it was buying. It was a big day of buying on the 29th of September at 30 odd pence. And in fact, even a big day of buying on the 3rd of October, 40 odd pence. And so, don't jump in on stocks that are loss making until you check the balance sheet. If they got like a year's worth of cash, it's fine. But obviously, this company didn't. And I did liken this when I was doing the live shows at Vox. There's a couple of fans of this saying this is going to the moon. And I said, listen, the technology, like I said, their website, they've actually got 94%.com. They registered that. But they're saying the test, the standard PSA test is 55%. Theirs goes to 94%, which is game changers. But like you say, Polaria, and I keep saying this, the risk of commercial execution is quite high. And like you say, changing a key opinion leader's opinion and getting them to adopt a new technology takes a long time, It's not just a slam dunk. It takes a long time. So you need a lot of cash to get there. And to get there, you need marketing, sales, all that stuff. It's not cheap, is it,
Exactly. And, another case in point, we've got another, example here on AIM, exactly in the same position, is what's the iron one there? The one, Shield.
Shield Therapeutics. Yeah,
the classic example. Got an approved product. Great news. It is a good product. But it's exactly the issue they're suffering. It's just hard to get the market to change and to start adopting the product. And in order to do that, you need headcount. You need a lot of burn. And that's exactly what they have. And then all of a sudden, the sales aren't quite what they expect it to be. And that burn really starts to come through. And then you need more money. So I think it's a very, those two stories right now are very similar. They're different areas, one's a pharmaceutical, one's a diagnostic, but it's exactly the same thing. They probably have very good products, but now it's the commercial execution risk. The minute your hockey stick isn't as steep as you expected it to be, cash call, and you're doing a steeply discounted placing in this market. And that's exactly what's happened in both cases, you know?
Yeah. It's, like I said, it'd be nice to see if they could bring that cash burn down, because it is quite hot. And like I said, you know, it's literally, are they likely to sign a big deal, get this away within a year? Because that's how much runway they have now.
Shield or the other one?
I'm talking about Oxford by Lomax.
Yeah, Oxford.
You know, the chances of that happening are quite slim, I think, you know? So it's a case for me, I'm not really sort of, I'd prefer to then get some kind of deal here and let it rise and then get in then, rather than just sit there and wait to see what happens and let the cash burn go down, because like I said, the cash burn is still quite high. I don't know if that's changed, but so we'll see that. Another placing in your space is
Renalytics did another, Renalytics is a funny one because they're in
look at that chart from 12 quid down to 31 pence.
Yeah, very, very difficult, the Renalytics. They and if you go further back, look at that journey.
Yeah.
You know,
it's gone from a pound odd up to 12 quid. And that's why a lot of people follow it. They still think that potential is still there. But you fall off a cliff and now we're down at 31 pence, a third of the IPO price pretty much. Yeah.
Renalytics history, they started out on AIM. They do, in that big rally that you see there, they do a listed onto NASDAQ. And then, you know, it just went on to the moon, became a £1 billion company. And now it's a, whatever, 10, 20, 30 million market cap company again. The reason they ended up there is there's obviously the biotech slowdown, the biotech downturn, you know, everything, all the tailwinds became headwinds in the broader market. But their fundamental problem was burn. Cash burn was out of this world. You know, they were burning tens and tens of millions. Okay. And unfortunately, in a difficult market that became unsustainable, it just didn't slow. It didn't slow. The burn kept going. So that's where that share price decline just kept going down and down and down and refinancing. And at one point they had a facility put in and God knows what. We are where we are today. But more recently, there was a takeout. There's takeout interest. And that's what the last couple of announcements were about. They're in the process of being sold. There's an interested buyer anyway. But clearly they needed cash in the midst of this deal, you know? So that's what this placing is about. So, you know, yet another discounted placing in the midst of a takeout. So
they burned 18 million in 6 months to 31st December.
Yeah.
And they're acting like a high tech NASDAQ stock. But like I said, in this environment, it's really hard to raise money. Yeah. And that's an improvement last year.
And that's a reduction. 21. And that's a reduction. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you can see. So look, I think Renalytics, you know, power to them. I hope they get taken out and the deal is a success, because better a commercial deal than some form of insolvency. And I don't know if that's what the you know, the 10 million is helpful, which I think is a good result. But you know, you're doing basically a bridge financing to get to completing a deal. That's what's happened here, you know? So I hope that deal comes through and it completes, because then it would be at least some form of a conclusion that's positive. So we'll see. That's the next step. Let's wait to hear if that deal materializes.
Talking about these sort of, you know, hope pipe potential stocks, I don't say that to, you know, discredit companies. I think, you know, if they do, you know, you can earn a lot of money quickly or lose a lot of money quickly in these kind of stocks. You know, this week, a company went bust that was, you know, a cracking sort of hope pipe potential stock was a company called BidSnack Technology, not in the same sector, but they did in-game advertising. Now, at the time, you know, gaming was going gangbusters. But again, another company that burned a lot of money. They were burning like 7-8 million a year. And I did get into them. I did very well at them, but they came out then with results. And I think the forecast results was better than 3 million. You know, the first time they'd published a set of results since they IPO'd. And it came in like at 30 grand in interims. So they're not going to make 3 million for the year. They come in at 30 grand. And so I just got out. And since that time, they have never recovered. There are a couple of spike ups, but they keep placing. This week, they've gone into administration. And I said, when you're a company that doesn't matter how much the hype around it, you know, a company does need cash. And so in downturns, like bear markets, when that becomes hard to raise money, that's, you know, it's a fatal situation. Yeah. Like I said, now going to administration, and all, you know, that's the trouble. If you've got all these hope pipe potentials and they're burning a lot of cash, that's got to be a worry, you know, especially in this market. Not too bad with the entire market's going up. But like I said, even if interest rates come down, they're not going to just drop off a cliff They're only slowly coming down. So I can't say, you know, almost, you know, even if the Bank of England say tomorrow we're reducing interest rates by 0.25%, I can't see all of a sudden the equity markets freeing up and being all of a sudden, hey, it's easy to raise money now. I mean, it'll be a bit more liquid, but I can't see it just changing overnight. So if you've got a company with, you know, very high cash burn, they need to raise cash, just stand back, check the balance sheet, because it's not easy. You know, it's, in fact, you know, my portfolio is probably flipped from, I'd say, you know, in the bull market, and I changed and I swapped over too late, really, from being like 80% loss-making stocks with huge potential, because it's easy to raise money when interest rates are nothing. Now to have 80% profitable companies with 20% hope by potential stocks, you know? And yeah. I think that's the way the market's going to be for a while. Cash-generative companies are still more in favor at the moment. Yeah. You don't see spikes up, but they come back down so quickly, these stocks, you know, at the moment. They don't sustain a rise. So
that's the problem we're seeing today, is we're not seeing sustained rises. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're spiking. That's why we just mentioned, you know, the spike in Abingdon. It wouldn't surprise me if we see sales, people selling into it. So we're still seeing that. We're seeing spikes and then people sell into it.
Yeah. In fact, do you know what? A good example of coming up a few months back, it was a company called Beeks Financial. Look at that. So they do, and they are a profitable company, but they do, and they're sort of a market leader here. They do cloud-based, low-latency trading platforms that they white-label to pretty much to exchanges. And I think they've signed New York Stock Exchange Group. They've just done an extension out of Johannesburg Exchange Group. And they, the stock exchanges sort of white lay them out to trading companies, to, you know, brokers, whatever they need. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a land and expand. You find they go in there, they're their best kit there, and they just announce an extension today. But they are blowing it out of the water. And it's nice to see. I tell you one other company worth looking at, which is very interesting for Dean, which they only listed a couple of years back. ADF, right? This is facilitated by ADF. Look at that. They IPO'd almost, you know, back end of the bull market, bear market thing here, back end of the bull market. But they are the biggest supplier of services to the film and TV industry. So, you know, like the Winnebagos, the catering equipment, all that stuff, the travel, anything you want, you know, to support film and TV. And now our film and TV have just received a boost from the budget. It's doing very well. Our film, if you look at in any award ceremonies, we're featured very highly in the UK now. And, I was listening to an interview by View Cinema on, I think it was on BBC Radio 5 Live, I think he was talking about. But he said, you know, our business model is not in question. When we have films, new films, people come and watch them. His trouble is, with the writer's strike and all that stuff that happened, production has slowed down. And it's, you know, everyone's in a holding pattern for a little bit. But now that's eased up. He said, there's so much work going on at the moment on British TV film industry. There's loads of productions going on around the country. He said the result of that, you'll see lots of films coming out next year. But the work going on is right now. And this company's just came out with results, and they're looking very good. I'll just do a little bit of investigation into them, because they are literally a 41 million market cap. I think they're doing 34 million in revenue. They are profitable. But they did say, you know, this half is a little bit slow because, you know, things are getting back up to speed. But half two in this year is going to be very busy, because obviously everything's scheduled and booked up already. So keep an eye on facilities by ADF. I mean, not many people know about them because they've only been listed a couple of years. And like I said, they came to the market and then they had this writer's strike which took them down here. But yeah. They held up very well in the writer's strike. And and I think now it's going to be gangbusters. Because I say, you've got, not only is the TV and film industry doing well in the UK, but we've had that added boost from the budget recently, which is going to help them a lot, you know. They're fully a trading update. They're going to do 34.8 million in revenue, adjusted EBITDA 7.3. Like, they're only a 40 million market cap.
That's very low, the rating.
Yeah, yeah. So they said that
they should be worth a lot more. I'm not kidding. That they should be worth at least twice that, I think.
Yeah, and it literally, the TV and film industry is going, it's back to normal now. In fact, it's going to get better than normal because of the budget. It's helped tax relief and all that stuff on special effects, all that kind of stuff. And before, I didn't know this, I listened to an interview. So before this sort of this budget happened, you'd get a company come in and do all the filming on like Pinewood Studios or something, but you weren't getting full tax relief on special effects, which is very odd. But now they brought that into line. So they'd go to another country, like Canada or somewhere, and do special effects where they get tax relief. But now they don't have to do that because now it's been afforded that. So they can stay in this country and do the special effects part of it and get tax relief, all that stuff. So, so this is a company worth looking at. I think ADF, their little microcap.
I am surprised by the 7 million, 8 million in EBITDA and 40 million market cap,
Well, yeah, because they did, I mean, I don't think people read this properly. Said not with the outlook, they're following the strikes in November 2018 and continued growth in demand for ADF services as evidenced by the current order book, the company expects financial performance to be significantly ahead of H2 2023. Then they did say, notwithstanding this, H1 is still a bit lumpy at the moment because people are reorganizing schedules because the strike went on and all that stuff. So it's a little bit lumpy. Yeah. But, beyond H1, it's going to be very good this year. And we're halfway through now in H1.
The next update they do
will probably be quite bullish because they'll know exactly not only what's booked for the second half of the year, but probably for the first half of 2025 as well. Because you've got to book, film productions are way in advance of you've got to be quite organized when you're doing that kind of stuff. So, marvelous stuff. Any other thoughts, Vadim?
No, we just have to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's been a bit of a lull in the rallies that we've seen in the last, say, first quarter of this year. Started well, February was a good month, and March kind of slowed down a little bit again. But it's zigzag upwards. I think that's the only way. It's the only way to think of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the aim all shade. So it rallied almost to the start of December, nice Santa rally, back.
Yeah,
but it's quite
February
nice.
Was okay.
It's along this 200-day moving average and it's not dropping off a cliff. So it's just a support. But we are, almost lows from December. So yeah, but it's looking like that's the bottom. We're coming out of a recession, it looks like, and the markets are always well ahead of this. 26th of October was the low, pretty much.
Yeah.
And now we're coming out of a recession. Yeah. And yet the market's sold off for 2.5 years. So the markets are way ahead of what was happening ever. Just pay attention to the markets. It seems to know. It's phenomenal. Marvelous. Like you say, as Rocky says, it's not about how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can take a hit and keep coming forward. That's what we need to do. Keep going. Cheers, Vadim. See you next week.
Thanks, Justin. Take care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.